This is Steve Sellers from the Big 86 KONO. A special guest in our studios today is San Antonio musician, and I say that, I really feel like I need to say worldwide musician from San Antonio. Mr. Augie Myers is here to visit with us and give us a little bit of a lesson, maybe even in San Antonio music history. Augie, thank you for being with us, sir.
How you doing, Steve? Glad to be here today.
Man, we're doing great, and we're glad to have you here today. And there's so many projects that you've been involved in, so many great bands in South Texas, bands that are known around the world, and we're going to delve into a little bit of that. I guess the band that you're most known for is the Sir Douglas Quintet with your buddy Doug Somm. So let's use that as a starting place. Where did you meet this guy, Doug Somm, and how did you guys get to be such fast friends?
Oh, well, my mama had a grocery store out there on East Houston Street, about five blocks from the Coliseum, and his parents traded there, and one day he showed up with them, and while I was carrying the groceries out, I must have been 12 years old, I was carrying the groceries out to the car, and I saw a guitar in the back. I said, "Hey, who plays guitar?" And Doug was there, and he said, "I do, man." I said, "Oh, really, man?" I said, "I play a little piano, play a little guitar. You know," I said, "I'm just learning the guitar." And he said, "Oh, man, we got to get together and jam, man." You know, so then I found out he's into baseball. You know, the baseball cards back then, you got five cards and a stick of gum for a nickel.
Right.
And he said, "Man, I just bought three packs of gum from your mama in your store, and I'm going to go home, you know." And I said, "Well, come back sometime." Well, he rode his bike in the town. He lived out there by Sam Houston High School. And he'd ride his bike in, or he'd come in with his parents. And he said, "Man, I got five cards here. I've got duplicate. So we'd go in the back. My mama had maybe 20, 25 packs of them gum. It's still in the storeroom. We'd open them up, and he'd figure out what he wanted. And he'd have one a little bit torn up card, and I'd put it back in. My mama said, "Junior," she used to call me Junior. She said, "Junior, you can't do that." And I said, "Mama, nobody's going to know. I'll put it back on together." We didn't chew the gum or nothing. And Doug got his baseball collection over the year. We became friends on baseball because we both liked baseball. But I really couldn't run, and he liked to play baseball and stuff. I'd go with him sometime when he'd play, but I couldn't play because I had polio on my left leg and left arm.
Right.
And I didn't walk till I was 10 years old. And so I would run, but I'd trip, you know. So now I'm not going to play, I'll watch. So that's why we came. And then we started jamming on guitar. And he got his band, and I got mine when I was 16, called Goldens.
Right.
Who I hired another guy that you knew way back then, Denny Espa, to sing. And that's where the Goldens came in. And then when I wasn't playing, I'd go see Doug play. Then me and him would jam.
So you were in a band called Denny Espa and the Goldens before Sir Douglas Quintet.
Oh, yes. Quintet, we didn't really start till the end of 64. I opened the show with the Goldens, and then Doug Somm and his band, the Pharaohs, came on. And then Dave Clark Five, remember?
Yeah.
Dave Clark Five from England. They came on, and I opened the show, and then Doug came on. When I got through playing, I'm in the backstage over there, and they said, "We're not going on." I said, "Why is this?" "This is the Coliseum." "Why?" "Because our organ broke." Well, I had the first Vox organ in America. I bought like 2 years earlier.
Was it the Vox Continental?
Vox Continental.
One?
And I went to Mr. Chuck Wood at San Antonio Music Company. He's gone now, and so is the store. I said, I showed him a magazine. I said, "I want one of these." He says, "Man, that's out of England." So he said, "I have to write a letter." I mean, this was in the early 60s. So he wrote a letter.
Yeah.
And about 2 months later, he called me and said, "I got a letter back, Augie." He said, "I can get you one, but they're very expensive." I said, "How much?" He said, $285 with freight. I said, "I want one." So 3 months later, I got my Vox organ. And then the Beatles came out with it, the Stones.
Oh, everybody.
And then they were up to $2,000 to $4,000, you know. And then anyway, that night, Huey Moe was there. And he said, "You know, you got long hair, and Doug, you got long hair backstage." He said, "Why don't y'all start up a band, like an English band, and do something?" He said, "I've got connections. Maybe I can get a record deal." So Doug said, came up with the word Sir Douglas, and then I came up with Quintet because we were five in the band. And
so Huey Moe, to let listeners know, was a producer out of Houston, record producer, had a radio show, I think.
Right, he did.
And were you guys kind of his first really big act?
No, he had B.J. Thomas.
I see.
He did Barbara Lynn, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he did a lot of people before he even took us on, you know.
So y'all didn't have a name at all at that point?
No, at the point we weren't even as a band. I mean, he just came backstage. Y'all do something. And Doug was playing at the Blue Note, which was on Blanco.
Right.
On a Blanco in Hildebrand. And he said, why don't you come by Thursday night and bring your keyboard and let's just start jamming with us Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I did. And we started the band. And he called Huey and said, man, we got a song we just wrote called She's a Body Mover. And Huey said, bring it on down. So we went to Houston and recorded. And nobody would put it out because it said body. So Doug changed the name to About a Mover.
Did you have a recording session with She's a Body Mover and then have to re-record it as She's About?
No, we didn't re-record. We just went back in and put the vocals on, redid the vocal.
So at that time, mid-60s, you didn't think that nobody thought She's a Body Mover was gonna fly for radio play.
Oh, you couldn't do that. I mean, back then, Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, on TV, they had to sleep in separate beds.
That's right.
You couldn't say the word pregnant on television.
That's right.
Back then, those days. I mean, I tell people that today, and they said,
What?
Yeah, you know. But, I mean, look at what goes on today, you know.
Well, we could have a whole show about that. I want to ask you again. It's really intriguing to me, the name, the Sir Douglas Quintet name, because, as you said, it was the producer, Huey P. Moe. So he sort of had the idea, if you guys, you already had long hair, kind of hint that you're from England, but not really say you're from England, maybe that would help things, right?
It did, until we did the big Hullabaloo show, or Shindig, I don't want to.
With Trini Lopez, right?
With Trini Lopez. He said, man, these guys, I said, I can't lie on national television. These guys are from my home state, Texas. And Doug looked at me and said, man, we just got busted.
Was that an ad lib by Trini Lopez? Because I've seen that.
Yeah, no, that was actually, he said that.
He said it. He kind of off the cuff, right? And, oh, man, thanks, Trini.
Yeah, but it didn't hurt us.
Of course not.
Until 2 weeks later, we got popped in Corpus for two joints, and we couldn't leave. We didn't go to prison. We were facing 7 to 10 years back in those days, but we couldn't go. We didn't go to prison. We couldn't leave Texas for 3 years, and we had the number 4 or 5 record in the nation here, and like 7th or 8th in Europe.
You mentioned Shindig, Hullabaloo. Were y'all on American Bandstand?
We're American Bandstand. We did a lot of Dick Clark stuff.
That happened, as I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is what Doug Somm told me one time. Y'all were playing on the local version of Bandstand at Channel 12. I think it was called Swing Time.
Swing Time, yeah. Bruce Hathaway.
One weekend.
Right.
The next weekend, you're on American Bandstand.
Right. We did 3 or 4. And there was another guy from San Antonio. I don't know if you remember Keith Ellison.
I sure do.
He's a real good friend of mine yet. You know, and he was a big friend of Bruce Hathaway. But Dick Clark, we were good friends with Dick Clark. I mean, we'd go out to eat and we'd call him up, and I mean, just like me talking to you right now, you know. And he said, man, can you do something with Keith, man? He's the biggest thing on every teenage magazine because he looks like Paul McCartney.
That's right.
You know. And he played with the Beach Boys. He played with
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Paul Revere and the Raiders. And Paul used to come to us and tell Doug, man, write us a hit. You know, Doug said, man, I'm writing all hits for us, you know.
well, to make a long story short, and a story that has a lot of great music history, San Antonio and Texas music history, a little bit short. You guys had great success as Sir Douglas Quintet, but you had kind of a lot of, I don't know if you call it different styles or metamorphosis, because you go out, you know, in the later hippie days, and y'all are in California, like you're successful. Mendocino comes out, and then some of the other songs come out. And y'all were like very much in the San Francisco scene for a while. Is that right?
Yeah, that's back in the 60s, man. I mean, San Francisco. We thought free love and everything was all over the world. It wasn't, you know. Yeah. And I remember right with us, Charles Manson and his people did their thing in California. Me and Doug were in New York. We just got back from Europe, and we were in New York, and people looked at us and said, there's some of Manson's people, Charles Manson. We said, no, man, who's that, you know? And then we read the papers, what happened, you know?
Right.
I mean, we've been in Europe, you know?
So if you had long hair, you're kind of associated, and from California, you were associated with Charles Manson?
With Charles Manson.
Oh, my gosh. So you guys did the whole California thing, and then we're going to talk about your European tour, but you guys got real popular. How did the Sir Douglas Quintet get so popular in Europe and the Scandinavian countries? Because they love you. To this day, they love you over there.
Well, I don't know. I had a label called Texas Record back in the days, and I had a couple of records that started getting good airplay in Sweden and Norway and Finland, and I went over there, flew over there, and got a company called Sunnet Records, and they bought some of my stuff, and they said, man, you're with a quintet. We'd sure like to get the quintet over here on our label. So I called Doug, and Doug, 2 days later, Doug flew over, and we just sat there, and we made a deal, and we cut a couple of albums with him, and we had one went real big called Midnight, Land of the Midnight Sun,
right,
which we had a song called Meet Me in Stockholm,
right,
which became a million seller over there.
I remember a song called Viking Girl.
Oh, well, let me tell you some Viking Girl. After we had her first hit over there, and we were going to Norway and all these places, me and Doug sit there and said, you know what we ought to do? You know, they really like us from Texas. Let's do a whole album of European songs. We took Train to Trondheim, No Way Like Norway. We were writing all, we thought, man, it's going to be a big hit because we're from Texas. We're playing, you know, Norwegian and all these Swedish town songs, you know, that we wrote. It was a flop.
Oh, my.
Because they wanted to hear of Texas music, you know. Right. So,
what's it like being, I mean, you're forever linked musically and creatively with Doug Somm. What's that kind of like to be? It must be great to have that kind of partnership, and I'm sure that it affects you still when you play.
Well, let me tell you something. I miss him every day. The day before he left, he said, I'm going up in Taos, New Mexico. I said, well, I'm going to Phoenix to play with Freddie Fender. Me and Freddie were doing a lot of stuff. The Tornadoes, we had the Texas Tornadoes when we were doing that. Doug would say, man, I'm going to take off and play jazz for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Is that cool? We said, whatever. Me and Freddie going to go. We played Vegas, played the main showrooms, and then we went to Phoenix. And my son called me and said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, getting ready to get a hamburger. He said, sit down. He told me Doug passed on. And, you know, till this day, we talk about, I can sit there and start crying, but I'm not trying to get red-eyed. But, and Freddie Fender the same way, because me and Doug met Freddie Fender when we were 15 years old.
Right.
So we became friends, and we've known Flocko since we were like 20, so for 50 years. So we've all been friends, and the whole band was a quintet. And the Tornadoes was the same group. So we all been friends like almost 50 years, you know, so.
Let's move to right now. You're ready for a European tour. Tell us about the European tour you're on right now, the songs you're going to do, and what you expect on the tour.
Well, I just talked to the guy last night, and I've got four countries. I'm doing Sweden, Norway, Holland, and Finland. Tour now, and I've got 12 shows I'm going to do in 15 days. So I'm leaving Sunday. This Sunday, I'm leaving to, what's the day? Thursday. I'm leaving Sunday if the rain don't delay me. And then I get there Monday morning, and then we rehearse that afternoon. And then Tuesday, we start off.
Is it Texas Tornadoes tour?
No. It's me. I had a couple of hit records over there.
Of course.
So I go over there and do that. But the promoter called and said, man, you got to do the song Midnight Sun, Meet Me in Stockholm. And I had a hit over there called Did I Tell You? And there's a guy over there named Jerry Williams who did I Want to Fall in Love Again and The Joints Really Jumping, two songs I wrote for him way back in the 80s. So I'm having to learn all this stuff that I never do in America, these songs. So I've had to learn like six new tunes, and my voice just dropped, so I'm learning new words. And not new words, but new keys. And trying to remember the music and everything. When you don't hear a song for 20 years and you haven't, it's boom, what do you do? So, it's fun. I've been learning that at night playing, so I'm ready for it now. If the rain don't stop me, I'm leaving Sunday.
So I want to talk about what you're doing now, recording wise, because I know that you. I think I'm right, and you have a country album we want to talk about. I want to talk about the Tornadoes, but this CD you brought, this Monkeys on Cocaine CD, which is a great name, but this is some friends of yours in New York.
Yeah, the guitar player Frank Carella, me and him did two albums and tours with John Hammond, you know, and so I'm up there. I was there in March and April, doing five shows in Massachusetts, in Boston, and in New York. And when I go up there, I might sing maybe five or six songs. That's all. I tell stories and I tell a lot of jokes on stage. And what people are going to say, they don't normally have a band that'll get up there and the guy's doing jokes and
right
and telling stories. And so I do that. And sometimes I just go sit and talk for an hour and a half about me and Doug and the quintet and the Tornadoes. You know, it's fun.
Right. And what about the Texas Tornadoes? Now you got Sean Somm, Doug's son. And what's going on with you guys? The Texas
we've got two more shows we got to do coming in October, and then we're taking a break till January. And this we're gonna actually I told Sean, I said, you know, Sean, everywhere we go, we're playing the same, but all he want to hear is Tornado hits and the quintet hits.
That's right.
And we put a new album out called Espanol. And I can't even pronounce the song I wrote anymore. It's been so long. We got an album. No, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear the hits. And so, you know, after 25 years, you sang four or five tunes, the same songs on every show.
Right.
It gets kind of old. And so I'm really having a ball doing what I'm doing now because I'm doing my songs.
Right.
And telling my jokes and stories. And I'm having I'm really enjoying it. Flacco just got back from New York 4 days ago. He went up there and did some stuff by himself, you know.
How did it happen that I know that you guys started very early on getting notice in New York and Bob Dylan noticed you? I mean, how did that all come about? Because Bob Dylan loved you guys.
Well, I guess we met Bob in 63 or 64, something like that. And he said, man, that's my favorite garage band, you know. And so we got to friends, and I said, man, we're going to come to San Antonio. So he came out to my farm and hung out for 3 days. And every time he wants to cut a record, he always calls me and says, Augie, you got your magic box. He's talking about the Vox organ. Yeah. And so he wants to hear that. So I went and did several albums with Bob, and one of them was his biggest selling. It was 24 million. He sold, and the next one was 19. One was 11 Theft.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the titles anymore, man, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, we did these, you know, 15, 18, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
so
right.
He wanted me to do Modern Times with him, but I was in Europe at the time. But every time he comes this part of the country, he'll call and say, how many tickets you need to the show, you know, and stuff.
What's that like, a Bob Dylan recording session?
It's really great. People don't know Bob is a great, not only a great writer, he's a great guitar player, he's a great piano player.
Right.
When he did the song of You Feel My Love. Well, I remember we were in a studio in New York, and he says, Augie, how would you do this song if you and Doug were doing it? I said, well, I would have two drummers and four guitar players. And so he'd had so many people in there doing different things.
Yeah.
I said, you write that on a piano or a guitar? He said, I wrote on a piano. I said, well, then play piano. You know, I said, if I write my stuff on a guitar, I'm playing guitar. Mm-hmm. If I write it on piano, I'm going to play it on the piano. That's where I'm more comfortable because that's where I fell in love with it. You know, and so he said, yeah, you're right. So we did that song, and who else? Garth Brooks did it just like Bob did it, you know.
Wow.
And he had a hit with it. But Bob's a good, he's really an intellectual person. And there's another guy I worked with, I did a couple albums with, is Tom Waits. He's a real good friend of mine, and man, he's articulate when he gets in the studio. I mean,
is that right?
So it's really interesting to not only record with these guys, but it's like going to college. I mean, you learn from them, you know.
Yeah.
Not learn to steal from them, but just learn the knowledge of things.
Just to wrap up, you are just entrenched in so much music history, not only San Antonio and South Texas, but all over the world, really. Do you ever think about writing a book or teaching a course or something? Because
no,
I'd read that book.
I've been writing for almost 2.5 years, and I've got 234 pages because I write every night in the morning if I'm home. You know, you just told me something a while ago, and I'm going to get home, I'm going to write a paragraph with it, and then I'm going to people tell me things, hey, whatever happened to Wayne? You know what I'm saying? Wayne, I don't have nobody anymore. Yeah, Wayne was with you and Denny Esmond. He was a drummer. You know, and I think, but that was 45, 50 years ago, you know, and I'm not that old. Somebody asked me, are you an old man? I said, no, I just portray one in real life.
That's right. Well, you're a good actor.
You know, so I'm always hearing things, and so I'm always writing, you know, so I hope to have the book finished with by the end of the year. Everybody's asking, where's the book coming out, Augie? So I've been writing it.
Do you have a title?
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind telling us the title?
You'll read about it.
I understand. That's absolutely fair. Thank you for talking to us on Kono. And, you know, Kono is a station that played the Sir Doug records. I mean, I heard Sir Doug records for the first time on Kono. So to have you here and the microphones now, you know, after several years when y'all started having hits, this is a thrill. So I appreciate it very much.
It's really funny to be in a studio. I mean, we're with Kono, but there's, what, 5 or 6, 7 stations?
Yes.
All on one floor here, you know, and I used to have to cross town. And
that's right.
Go all the way across town here and there and there and there for it.
It's a one-stop shop.
It's a one-stop shop, yeah.
Good luck on your tour, and thank you for coming to talk to us.
Hey, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it. Really do.